Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scott Jacobs Podcast. How's everybody doing today? I hope good. Monday wasn't too bad. But I do want everybody to keep a guy I work with in your prayer. I ain't gonna mention any names, but I think he's needing God's guidance right now. And I hope all my listeners can help me pray, and maybe God will show him the way he needs to be. So, now that is said, I want to get on with my show. A message from...
I just got this box.
This is a commercial, my bad, guys. Here we go.
I'm going to drop a bomb on you, something that I just found this out myself. And I don't think they said we can't say this, but anyway, I'm going to say it anyway. If I get in trouble for it, I'm going to get in trouble for it. Take a wild guess. How many attempted assassination attempts on the president occurred from the time that he got elected, I think it was November 17th, to the time he took office? You want to take a wild guess? 25. From November 2015 till January 2016, when he took office. He had his own private security force, and if that private security force hadn't been there, they could have got him.
What's that tell us?
Exactly. And look how many times they've tried. He was not supposed to get elected. He was not supposed to be the person who got in charge of the country. And because he can't be controlled, they have been coming after him since the first day on the planet. And thank God the American people see the truth. Whether you agree with him or disagree with him, he has done everything that he said he was going to do. Go back and look at his platform when he was running for office. He clearly said vaccines are directly related to autism, which is the truth. By December, we would have 100 million vaccines, and by January of 2021, we'd have 200 million vaccines. And we were going to have the military roll this out to spread it. I talked to the president's advisor, and he says, well, did anything sound strange to you in that comment? And I said, well, yeah, the military part, because you use the National Guard or the reserves, but you couldn't use the active duty military. You can only activate the National Guard, and you can maybe activate the reserves, but you can't use active military. He said, and he's prior military himself, and he said, yeah, anything else? I said, no, I didn't notice anything else. He said, what were the dates when he's going to roll out these vaccines? I said, December and January. And he goes, and when are the elections? I said, November. And he started chuckling. Now, there's a lot of information like this. The president is in the middle of assessment. This was a classified information by the Russian government that was actually initially published in 1977. It was only for governmental use, and it was marked that way. And the CIA declassified it in 2012. So it's actually been public information since 2012. But this is, you know, we're looking at 43-year-old literature talking about the 5mm 60 hertz frequency and the detrimental effects it has on the human system, actually not just the human system, on any living system. And it's been completely ignored. So looking into some of the fundamental aspects of what this energetic system does, what this radio frequency electromagnetic fields do, and they have an impact on all living things, no matter whether it's 1G, 2G, 3G, I won't say beyond that. But regardless of what level it is, it's always had some type of an impact on physiology. But the most recent version of it creates some very noticeable metabolic changes, and these changes have an impact not only on the immune system but also on the cell membrane integrity. So for example, one of the things that we see is that the voltage-gated calcium channels that are so critical for the ability of the cell membrane to regulate efflux and influx of calcium within the cell, when this voltage-gated calcium channels get disrupted, it allows for calcium to come into the cells, which then causes a suppression of apoptosis, which is concomitant with the use of the propagation of cancer. It's actually consistently congruent with the oncogenic process. Now, what happens when you start to create this type of disruption? That's just one aspect of it. But then you have other aspects that go into play. And so these aspects as they come together. It's not 1 + 1 = 2. It's actually 1 + 1 + 1 = 33 type of thing. It's a synergistic to an order of magnitude greater destructive nature. So you've got other aspects from this technology that cause lymphocyte subpopulation suppression. You have the hypoxic type injury components that people have been able to observe, which is secondary to the apparent disassociation of iron from the hemoglobin. So hemoglobin is the iron, is the oxygen carrying capacity of the blood. So when you pull the iron away from it, it actually causes a disruption. So the blood can't carry the same amount of oxygen, and the list just goes on and on. There's so many things that we don't even understand yet, how it affects the human system. Or whenever I say human system, it's actually affecting all living systems. It's definitely going to affect all life on the planet, because you're talking about a radio frequency electromagnetic field that's going to envelop the entire planet, and it's a global microwave technology. Essentially, it's just throwing off the entire magnetic grid of the Earth's essence. The Schumann frequency that the Earth resonates with, you can think of it as the pulse of the planet. It's being disrupted. And, you know, now you're talking about other implications that could be not just how it's going to affect life, but what it's going to do to weather patterns, what it's going to do to the morphological structure and the configuration of the planet itself. So, you know, you're going to start seeing more natural disasters. You saw the footage with the sloughing off in Norway off 2,000 feet by 500 feet right into the ocean. You're going to start seeing all sorts of landslides like this. You're going to see earthquakes. There's been more earthquakes occurring. You're going to see all sorts of other natural disasters starting to increase because we're disrupting the Earth's magnetic grid. You know, one of the things that I think should be most prevalent for people is they should all be asking questions. We should all, as inhabitants of this planet, we should be asking questions. The first question that we should be asking is, regardless of what's being said, what does it mean when something that's being said is being taken off the internet? There's no difference between burning a book and taking something off the internet. There's so much misinformation going on. And so the question I think people should ask is, why is this being censored? Because a lot of critical thinkers are saying, wait a second, we're not living in North Korea, we're not living in China. Why is this information being shut down? And that's the billion-dollar question.
Billion-dollar question, guys. Think about it. You know, the stuff I play, take it to bed at night and just think it over for yourself and see what your theories are and how my theories entwine together.
This man went from homeless to millionaire so quickly, he is actually known as
95% of who we are by the time we're 35 years old. It's a set of memorized behaviors, like a computer program, emotional reactions, unconscious beliefs and perceptions. So the first step to change is to become conscious of how you think, to notice how you act, to pay attention to how you feel. And the act of observing those states of mind and body separates you from that program. Now you're the consciousness observing that program. The act of mentally rehearsing something when you're truly present. So now your brain is no longer a record of the past. Now it's a map to the future. Lost their free will to the program. If you get angry at a coworker and all of a sudden you get an arousal in your brain and body, right? You get a rush of energy. When you start noticing that your body starts dropping, your brain starts noticing your energy starts dropping, you're automatically going to have the image of the coworker in order to what? Give your body the jolt, right? So all of a sudden people become addicted to their own thoughts, right? So these people realize that, oh my God, I've been mismanaging my attention and energy, and I got to get beyond my past. I got to get beyond these emotions. I got to make some big changes. I got to break the habit of being myself. You know, I got to stop being this person. Now, that sounds really good theoretically and philosophically, but change is such a hard thing, right? Because the moment you come back to your senses and you step back into your life and you see that person, or you go to that place, or you're with that experience, so many people are unconsciously reacting in their thoughts and feelings to everything in their environment. So now their environment is controlling how they think and feel. So they realize that in order to change, they gotta be greater than their environment, greater than the conditions in the world, greater than the circumstance. Because the moment you start reacting emotionally, emotions are a record of the past. And if those emotions are driving your thoughts, you're thinking in the past. And if you can't think greater than how you feel, and you believe your thoughts have something to do with your destiny, you're creating more of your past, right? So it turns out that the repetition of thinking and feeling and thinking, these loops that people get caught in, condition their body to subconsciously become the mind of that emotion. Which means now, their body is their unconscious mind, is believing they're living in the same past experience 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. What's the relevance behind that? Well, the latest research on genes says genes don't create disease. It's the environment that signals the gene that creates disease. If you're reacting emotionally to your environment the same way, you're signaling the same gene in the same way, and now you're headed for a genetic destiny. So the hormones of stress push the genetic buttons that create disease. If you can turn on the stress response just by thought alone, your thoughts could make you sick. And if your thoughts could make you sick, is it possible that your thoughts could make you well? So they began to realize that, oh my God, the repetition of thinking and feeling and feeling and thinking caused me to feel guilt, and I don't even know it's guilt, it just feels like me. It's just, I'm used to the same chemical continuity. Now, the moment they decided to change, anytime you decide to change and change anything about yourself, get ready, because it's going to feel uncomfortable. You're going to leave the known.
Yeah.
You're going to leave the familiar, and you're going to step into the unknown. So if you start your day, and you start your day with this simple question, what is the greatest ideal of myself that I can be today? Now listen, your body's gonna go like, well, we gotta get a cup of coffee, and you gotta,
I'm tired,
yeah. And you gotta go, body, you're not the mind, I'm the mind right now. You're gonna get your coffee, you're gonna do all those things, but right now, this is my time. You're gonna obey me, right? So now, the body's no longer the mind, you're the mind. And so when it wants to get up and you become aware of it, and we turn back to the present moment, every time you do, that's a victory. And you're changing some aspect of yourself. So then ask yourself, I do this all the time, write down 4 thoughts that you're going to stay conscious of the whole day. I can't, it's too hard. You'd be surprised the moment you become conscious of what those thoughts are, how unconscious you've been to them all day, you know, for weeks on end. Write down what you speak, how you speak, 4 things you want to change, how you act. How do you act? Do you complain? Do you blame? Do you make excuses? Do you feel sorry for yourself? That's a victim consciousness. What emotions do you live by? Is it possible that you're so used to living by guilt you don't even know it's guilt? It just feels like you? Do you allow your energy to drop? Become conscious of those states of mind and body and review them and say, this is the old self. Then say, what thoughts do I want to fire and wire in my brain? And start firing and wiring and start feeling it. What behaviors will I demonstrate today? What choices will I make? One day, one lifetime, and rehearse them. Rehearse the whole entire thing. Begin to install the neurological hardware in your brain. And if you keep installing it, the hardware is going to become a software program. You're going to start thinking and acting that way. And then here's the tough part. Can you teach your body emotionally what your future is going to feel like before it's made manifest? And don't get up until you feel that way. Now, practice that for a few days. And then see if you can stay in that state. And watch all of a sudden all those weird doors start opening for you.
Synchronicities.
Synchronicities, whatever they are. Number 2, take a time at the end of your day. The end of your day, before you lay down, and give thanks for your life. And just feel gratitude. And really teach your body what it feels like. Gratitude that's of value, you would say thank you because you would feel it, right? So when you're receiving, you're giving thanks. So gratitude is the ultimate state of receiving.
Hey everybody, it's Tony.
Hold on, if the commercial will go back.
I mean a real challenge, one where you're able to turn your entire life in the new...
So then people only accept, believe, and surrender to the thoughts equal to their emotional state. So if you're in a state of gratitude, every thought's going to make it right down into your body. If you're saying, I'm healthy, I'm wealthy, and your body's programmed in negativity and saying, no, you're not, thought's going to stop right here. So if you elevate your state, there are about 1,200 different chemical reactions that go on in the body that begin to restore and repair the body in a state of gratitude. And so we've done the research to prove that. 10 minutes and just feel it with all of your heart. That's it. Thoughts are the language of the brain and feelings are the language of the body, and how you think and how you feel creates your state of being. So then the question is, if you keep practicing creating that state of being, it should become familiar to you, yes or no? The word meditation literally means to become familiar with. Not do it for 30 minutes, not do it for 60 minutes, and you practice. So when a person actually activates their heart, the heart releases a chemical called oxytocin. Oxytocin is actually the love chemical. Oxytocin signals nitric oxide. Nitric oxide signals another chemical called endothelial-derived relaxing factor. What does that do? It causes the vessels in your heart to swell. You will literally have energy in your heart. You will literally feel like your heart is full. Now, once you have that feeling, you're not going to want to trade that feeling for anyone or anything. You're going to say, why would I judge that person? If I judge that person, I'm going to lose this feeling. We are the creators of our lives and not the victims of our lives. And that taking time in your life to invest in yourself is to invest in the future. And when you invest in yourself, you invest in your future. And when you believe in yourself, you believe in possibility. And I think that everybody secretly believes in themselves. And so taking time to understand that we are just works in progress, and to find time to forgive ourselves and to forgive others and start fresh the next day is a blessing. And finally, I think that it's not our purpose in life to be popular or successful or beautiful or intelligent. Our purpose in life is to remove those blocks, those veils, those limitations that stand in the way between us and that divine intelligence. And when we do, it begins to make its way through us, and we become more like it. We become more loving. It is a loving intelligence. We become more giving. It's a giver of life. We become more conscious. It's a consciousness. We become more mindful. It has an infinite mind. We become more willful. It has an amazing will. Its nature becomes our nature. Its mind becomes our mind. And then we don't have to try to be liked or try to be important or try to be recognized. We're just happy for no reason at all. And I think that is the natural state of being. And I think that we innately know that on some level.
Crazy there, right, guy, ladies and gentlemen? So, think about what I let you hear today and see what you come up with. And you can find me on my Facebook page. I got a Facebook page called Scott Jacobs Show Podcast. Look me up. Add me. Like. And like all my stuff. Please. Alright, guys. Have a good afternoon. Sleep good. See you tomorrow.